Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. This is Robert Jaramillo with Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, and we are continuing Pastor Brian's study on the Sermon on the Mount. Currently, we're in the Beatitudes on this message that was given live at Calvary Chapel La Mirada. This week, Pastor Brian is focusing on verse 6, which speaks of the blessings of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Today, Pastor Brian is going to speak on the emphasis of having a daily thirst and hunger for righteousness and a continual hunger and thirst for righteousness. Pastor Brian will be looking at Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 for examples from the Bible. So let's go ahead and begin.
Now, looking at that where he says hungering and thirsting, it's hard for us, I think, to truly imagine that, to be hungry. I mean, we don't eat for 3 hours. Say, oh, I'm starving. What's to eat around here? Well, we have our ice boxes filled up with snacks and pantries. And, you know, it's not as if we're worried about not getting the next meal tomorrow. We may not like what it is, but we're not worried about not getting it. These people, many of them, the people that Jesus was ministering to, they had to work for their daily food, their daily bread. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, we're to pray for our daily bread. You know, we're asking God to provide for that. It's foreign to our concept. So these people really were on the threshold of some of them not having the food to supply for their family or for their life. They had to go and work for it that day. There was many people, they were day laborers, would be hired for the day. They'd get their money and would buy their food for that day or for the next day and be able to survive that way. And obviously famines would come in and blights. And we haven't seen, at least in my generation or in any time here in the United States, we seem to be in abundance. And so it is a little bit foreign to us, but I think we can understand the idea of hungering and thirsting as relating it to something that we want, something that we are in great desire for. And it's not food, it's not water, but it's righteousness, the righteousness of God, the work of God. And so we need to be those that would hunger and thirst. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 34, where the disciples wanted to give him something to eat. And he said, well, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. That was what he hungered for. That's what he desperately wanted to do, was fulfill the will of the Father. Jesus modeled this beatitude for us, and it should be a characteristic that's in our heart and in our life. The other thing I'd like to bring out about this beatitude here is where he says, those who hunger and thirst, these are in the present tense, which means you should be ongoing, it should be present, it should be right now, it should be continuous. I'm continually hungering, I'm continually thirsting for righteousness. And I definitely have a lot to say about that. It's picturing a person that has a deep desire for the Lord, his presence, and his work in their life. And if you don't have that, something's wrong. And you're not going to experience the fulfillment that Christianity has to offer. Because there's cheap substitutes along the way. There's religion that'll substitute and kind of pacify the real need. You know, you go to church and you kind of casually read your Bible and you know, sort of spiritual. And you just kind of get settled with that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. And that's no way to live the Christian life. And there's real no blessedness and deep sense of satisfaction for a person that's just kind of, they're just okay with where they're at. We need to realize that we are in a desperate need for God's presence, for his righteousness, and like food, we must have it. And that's where all of our hearts should be, because none of us have been perfected yet. None of us have come to the point where we could say, I've arrived and I've experienced all of the work of the Spirit that anyone possibly can. There's obviously a great gap, and we should be longing for it like sponges. That's one thing when I came to the Lord, I told myself, I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm satisfied with where my walk is at with the Lord. I don't ever get to the point where I'm satisfied with, well, I have enough Bible knowledge. I know the Scripture's enough. Or that, you know, I have enough of this or enough of that. I've always wanted to be in that place as a humble beggar before God in desperate need, calling out for his work because I need it. And when I find my heart start growing into that place of satisfaction, that's one of my greatest fears, that I would just get to the point where I'm satisfied with where I'm at in my walk with the Lord, in my ministry, where I'm at as a husband, as a father. I want to be one that's continually, right now, today, hungering and thirsting for righteousness more than I have been in the past. I don't want to look at my conversion and say, boy, that's when I really desired the Lord and desired worship and desired prayer and desired Bible study. I want that to be today my experience with Jesus Christ, and I believe that it should be. And I will experience the blessedness, the full blessing of God upon my life as I find myself in that state. And there's a real danger of just coming to a point where you're comfortable. And that's why we gather around the Word of God to challenge that comfort zone and push us closer to the things of God. And in this pursuit, there's some things that I believe can get in the way and hinder that hunger that we should have for the Lord. I want to look at a couple of scriptures and give us warnings about that. Since you're there in Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 20. He says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now let's look at what that righteousness is in the context. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men, otherwise you have your reward from your Father in heaven." Look at verse 5. "And when you pray, you shall not pray like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Then look down at verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So here the righteousness of the Pharisees is all external righteousness, all the outward acts. And the Pharisees didn't want the righteousness that God had to offer through Jesus Christ, because they were satisfied with their own, and it developed a pride, and they did their righteous works to be seen by men, and Jesus says they have their reward in full. And so that false religion or just external righteousness could mask our true need for the genuine work of the Spirit of God. And I believe that's why religion is truly a curse in our society, because it masks people's true need for God. And they're falling for a cheap substitute, a religion that says be baptized, go to church, do these things, and you'll be all right with God. And they really don't have a hunger for the true work of God. It's a false righteousness. And the Pharisees were experts at that. And we could fall into that same thing of just being satisfied with, well, I'm doing all the right things outwardly. You know, outwardly to men, I appear to be, as a Christian, following the things of the Lord. But there's real no hunger and thirst for that true and deeper work of God.